to the In His Voice podcast hosted by me, Rob L. Lowe, where we talk about the trials and tribulations that affect the lives of boys and men without ever bashing women. We talk about everything from the bedroom to the boardroom, from the playground to the stadium, and everything in between. And today's episode is no different. Man, we're going to unpack a lot. For those that don't know, I am the father of two beautiful daughters, and they are my world. And for those who are fathers, especially fathers of girls, it's a special thing. And I have a guest with me today, a good friend of mine, great brother, the father of three wonderful young ladies and raising his niece, my brother Jimmy Love. Welcome to the show.
What's going on, my brother? How you doing?
Good. We're going to have this conversation, man, because I think it's important. I think people, men and women, they see us as fathers, but they don't always understand the challenges of coming, of being a father of girls, let alone being the father and raising girls a lot of the time by yourself.
Yeah.
And you are raising four young ladies. So, man, introduce yourself, give a little bit of background, and then let's unpack this, dude, because I can't wait to hear these stories.
Like you said, my name is Jimmy Love. Yeah, it is Jimmy Love. I know a lot of people think I made that up. It's actually three of us now, as far as in our family. My father's a senior, I'm a junior, and I actually do have one son, but I also have three daughters, 20, 19, and 17, and a niece that's now 25. So she's out of house. She lives in Arizona, doing her thing. The other two are in college, one at Ball State, one here locally. And baby girl's still in high school, so.
You got one still in high school.
Still in high school.
You ain't had to hurt nobody, though, right?
No, they've been pretty good, man. I think, you know what they say, proper instruction gives you proper production.
I ain't never heard that, but I'm using it, and I'm not giving you credit.
That's all right. I can't take it because I learned it from somebody as well.
Man, let's go ahead and go down this path, man. There's so much I wanna ask you around this subject. The father, yes, you have a son, and that's a special bond in itself. That's a different show. But raising four young ladies, let's start easy. What was the easiest thing for you to wrap your hand around? And what was the hardest thing for you to wrap your head around when it comes to raising these young ladies?
I say early on, we established teamwork. I could attest to probably several friends that when we would be out and we would want to move around and I needed them to come to a collective, I yell Team Love, and they would boom, kind of come right in line like a drill sergeant.
For real?
Yeah. Everybody would say it too. It was kind of like a little, they thought it was a joke, but it was a few things you had to do, like you said, in regards to just keeping them focused, understanding when we're together, you need to listen for my voice, like you said, with dangers and just a bunch of different things that go on. So that, just seeing their teamwork together, coming together, you know, did you hear daddy call us? Let's go, you know, let's get over here, see what's going on. That was fun, and that was, you know, It was just, you know, kind of something they knew that when it was ready to go, you know, they could yell it to themselves and everybody would kind of come together. So it was kind of our inside family code word, if you will.
Man, was there one daughter that was your right hand?
Yeah, the oldest. I would say the oldest, and my niece.
Okay.
My niece being my sister's baby daughter, we developed a relationship because I was an older father, if you will, for our community. I didn't really start fatherhood as having my own children until I was in my early 30s. Most time for us.
Yeah, right.
You know, I'm an old man in that realm. So just like now, I have the baby girl still in high school. Most of my friends of my age, they're either grandparents and or their children are 3 to 4, or if not more, older than my children.
Yeah, yeah.
And experience a different part of life.
Wow, you started in your 30s.
Yeah.
So interesting. You have this, you got this team program down to a science, right? And everyone kind of falls in line. But in order to do that, I would imagine you'd have to have somebody who's kind of your right hand that helps get everyone else on the team. Did you have a person?
Yeah, I did. My oldest daughter, she kind of got it.
Yeah.
And then my niece.
Okay.
Because she was few years older than them.
Okay.
So it kind of passed down. It started with my niece. And then in our family, traditionally, we come from, you know, in the line of if we're stair-stepping, whether it's cousins or whatever, you listen to the person older than you. So it kind of was a breakdown. So she kind of had chest puffed out like, hey, I'm older than you. I can put the act rights on you. It went to my oldest daughter, Simone, and then Simone put it on Justice, and Justice put it on Lexi. So, and then unfortunately, my son got it from all of them, but he gets it. And yeah, they just kind of.
Is he the youngest?
He's the youngest. He's the youngest.
Wow.
So they've just kind of fallen in line with that. And it's kind of this having conversations with them, those,
yeah.
I used to call them raw and real moments.
Yeah.
And I would refer to our, you know, our childhood, letting them know, you know, like, my older sisters, when we would go places, you know, if we didn't listen, we got back home, we got disciplined because you didn't listen. And it's about control and understanding. And it's not just, you know, trying to overlord on somebody. It's just, it could be the difference of you stepping out into the street and getting hit by a car because you wasn't paying attention, but the leader is paying attention. And what I like about it is they've all had a chance to be a leader. Except my son to a certain, because he's the youngest, but he gets it as well. And you know, as he gets into more extracurricular activities, I see some of his leadership qualities come out and understanding the talks that we have, the raw and reals, if you will, and watching his sisters, always great influences on him and correcting him, you know, correcting him with love.
You know, I think I asked the question, like, what was the greatest joy or thing you were able to do? Here's where we go. Let's go ahead and down this rabbit hole. You're raising four young ladies.
Yes.
You're going through adolescence, teenage years, young woman, young adulthood. Yes. Now they're adult. What was that journey like for you, man?
I think with my niece being the lead was a challenge because I wasn't her father.
Yeah.
The father figure. Like, she calls me Uncle Dad now.
Yeah.
But this, those challenges because, unfortunately, both her parents, one through a tragic house fire and the other heart attack, you know, she's left without that first level, which most children have. So I step in along with our village, my dad. And so it was a little difficult, especially when boys start, you know, taking notice because she was more of a tomboy for a long time. And, you know, once that, you know, the hair and then the nails and it's like, oh, hey. But she already such a tomboy, just was focused on, you know, nah, I don't, you know, that's not for me. So I think her sister saw it and her cousin saw it and just talks. I mean, communication, I think that's the biggest thing, you know, telling them what you know as a young male yourself at that time, what's going on, what's the hormonal imbalances that's going on in your mind and just, you know, giving them proper instruction and saying, look, yeah, he likes you, but he don't like you.
How were you, you know, I have two daughters. And they're 23 and 24. And our relationship has gone through phases.
Yes.
Right?
I'm glad you said
it. It's gone through phases. So in high school, my oldest man, like, man, I thought I was from Mars, man. I thought she hated me.
Yeah.
And my youngest would be like, why are you so hard on dad? Right? Like, she was like, dad. And now they're older. My oldest one is like, yo, dad, what's up? We're right. And then my youngest was only a year later. Like, sometimes I'm like, do you even like me? And it hurt. Dude, it hurts.
Yeah.
Like, if there's nothing else that I could explain to daughters or women or even men, man, like the love that a man has for his daughter that we're supposed to have, like, I can't describe it.
No.
Men who have it understand what I'm saying.
Hell yeah.
Like, I don't have a son. But I'm sure my love for son, my son would be just as vicious and tough. But my love for my daughter, man, I'll rip a hole in everybody in my path who dare put their hands on my daughter.
Yeah.
You know, if you hurt my daughter,
right.
And I understand that's part of life. But going through those phases, those hurts, man, how did you deal with that? Like, what were there relationship dynamics along the way? Were there things that you had to change about yourself? Like, I really want to hear, because that, it's, to me, that's personal.
Yeah, I would totally agree. It's funny you said that. I look at it in a couple different ways. From birth to about, I don't know, five to seven is more of caring and just giving the initial instruction, From about that 7 to, like you said, pre-adolescence, teenage years, it's more of the instruction, discipline. And then now that, you know, the couple two are older in college, and then my niece, of course, has moved on, that's when the friendship comes in.
Yeah.
But you're right. I think that nowadays, because I think everything is younger, it's not when we were there. Like, you know, you kind of got the attitudes in high school.
Yeah, yeah.
Things like that. I think now it comes in middle school, almost the cusp of the end of elementary with the influences of everything.
Oh, because you know, they're exposed media, to things sooner.
Absolutely. The information accessibility is there that much faster than we had. So being from what I came in my background professionally, I would just stay on. So like dances, different goofy stuff. They like, well, how you know how to do that? And I said, hey, I was young, and your daddy used to like to dance, so I keep up. And so we would make little connections that way. And then when real world situations would happen, we watch the news, we look at an article, and we kind of reflect back how it could affect them, especially like going out. You know, if you're not paying attention, this could happen, in, you know, with kidnappings and trafficking and just being around people. Because one thing I tell you, my oldest went to high school over here at Crispus Attucks, and we hadn't had the conversation due to me moving around and working in regards to you're going to high school. So some of the things you saw in middle school are going to be that more intensified.
Mm-hmm.
So a young lady brought in a stun gun. And my daughter, of course, being curious, because, you know, we don't have stun guns, you know, let me see that. So she's looking at it, and he hitting the button. So, you know, in the school, it seems like everything magnifies and you're not supposed to be doing it.
Right, right.
And, you know, she got caught with it very upfront, but her background of who she was academically, athletically, and a good overall person, you know, had her persevere. But I felt so bad because I felt like I missed that conversation to say, look, now that you're going to this next level, you're going to see some things. I mean, you touch some things, then come back and we'll talk about it. It's like in guns in our household. It's never been an issue because we talked about it early. Mm. So I was a firm believer always in communicating, from sex to hanging out with people, you know, people telling you they're friends. They didn't like it. And so, like you said, we you know, it'd be terse. You know, they looking at me the other way, you know, the faces, and, you know, old school, I want to get in the business. But one thing, I had a great mentor, my father, who's still living, and he's an older gentleman. And so he would tell me all the time that, you know, the world is a spins on an axle, and it's 360, and they'll come around. You just keep being yourself. Keep being consistent. Dad, loving, criticizing, uplifting, supporting, and things, they'll get to where they need to be. And so I see that now, like you're saying, as they enter the next levels of life, with two graduating, moving on to the secondary of education, and then my daughter, the baby girl. You know, babies are always something different. You know, because depending on when you have your other children, that, you know, you don't want that same fight you had with the one previous or the other one. And I think in that case, it kind of helped because, you know, they're watching each other's, you know, my relationship with their sister and their cousin. So, yeah, there were some times where, yeah, you want to, you know, jump off the roof. Other times you want them to jump off the roof. But I think understanding that, you know, I try to model myself of being an open-minded person. I tell them, I'm not your friend. There's going to be a time we'll be friends, but I'm not your friend. And I know when you get to be my age, when you look back, daddy wasn't wrong. Daddy wasn't, you know, he wasn't doing this just to be an overlord to me. He was doing this because his experience, what he expects out of me, because, you know, we give our kids expectations. But then understanding, like we all know, the plans and things change as you move along. You know, you may have an expectation. You may have a goal for your child. But ultimately, you got to let them have their choice and chance and support them to help them get to the next levels of life.
You know, my there are times in my life, you know, as a father, there are times I question myself, like, what did I do wrong? And, you know, their life was definitely not mine, right? Their childhood was definitely not mine, nowhere near. And so as a father, I did my best to give them not just a good life, to give them great life experiences, right? Mm-hmm. Like I wanted, if God took me home tomorrow, I wanted them to be like, you know what? My dad might have been strict. He might have been intense. He might, but that dude right there,
yeah,
ain't nothing he wouldn't do for me. But there are times I felt like I must have done something wrong. I didn't get it right because they don't talk to me about their relationships. Even now, like, and they're grown.
Yeah.
They won't come talk to me about, they'll talk to their mom about everything.
Absolutely.
But I'm like, listen, I want to be a part of your life. Like, I'm dad, so I'm going to give you my advice, but it's your life. I get it. There's some things I've had to accept that who they are is different than who I am. But when they didn't want to open up and talk to me, you know, that bothered me. And to this day, they have a story that they tell. They held on to the fact that they said when they were kids, I wouldn't let them climb trees. And like, that was a big thing. I was like, y'all really mad about that? Like, dad, you wouldn't let us climb trees.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, they was like, you know, it was just trees. And what they don't understand is, of course, now I see it through their eyes. Like, we were kids, we wanted to play. It wasn't that the trees was the issue. It was, no, I'm just trying to protect you.
Yeah.
I don't want you to fall out of a tree, because at 12, I broke my arm because I fell off a porch.
Gotcha.
Right? So that one fall can end up in the hospital and you in a cast. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
And then I was thinking, I also want you to be young ladies. But at the time, I didn't realize that having them climb a tree will not deter them from being young ladies. I didn't know that yet, right? I'm thinking, no, you know, this is what I want you to be. And so for you, were there periods, man, where you felt like you got it wrong?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, to this day, I think it's, I think there's no real blueprint.
Mm.
You know, you what we all do to a certain degree is we either do one thing or the other. We either do what our parents did, our grandparents, or our village, or we go totally opposite. I think that's how you see in society now with the influence of so many parents saying that their kids' friends and this, the relationship is more of a Laverne and Shirley, if you will. They're just step in step versus, no, there's still levels to things because life is going to dictate levels.
Mm.
And so absolutely. So, you know, initially I didn't buy my daughter a car. And so I had to think, and I felt so bad, like, man, you know, I want to, exactly like you, give them experiences and opportunities that I didn't have. But I also had to take a step back in talking to my dad that sometimes we overprotect them.
Mm.
And who you are and who you became, same for myself, with some of those no's and things that went on for our parents or persons, guardians who raised us. And sometimes we're so overprotective. Like to this day, I don't think my daughter ever, you know, getting back and forth from work, she's been picked up by me, her, you know, somebody.
Mm.
She's not had to catch the bus.
She don't know about them.
Had to ride a bike. She had to call another friend.
Right.
You know, she doesn't know about MITS passes or, you know, medical passes or
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
So it's like, man, am I damaging her character? Because then now, are they going to feel entitled?
Yeah.
You know, are they going to? So, yeah, I feel like some of that I've done wrong. But then again, I think the world sometimes corrects itself when you put down a good foundation.
Yeah.
Of love, respect, admiration, criticism, critique, both positive and not necessarily negative. But, you know, hey, we're strict and they don't like it and want to hear it. But as we know, as you grow, sometimes it doesn't hit us right away for ourselves.
Yeah.
But absolutely, I've made mistakes and, you know, probably going to still make mistakes. But what I do is try to keep an open relationship where we have dialogue. I think that's the biggest thing. So like you, they've come back to say like, well, you like to move around. You know, sometimes we just want to chill out.
Mm-hmm.
We look up and I was like, man, I didn't believe it in it. And we would come in from being out and my oldest daughter, co-captain, if you will, would say, we going anywhere else? I say, why you ask that? I'm going to take my shoes off. If we're going somewhere, I want to take my shoes off. I'm like, oh my God, this is
right,
crazy.
Right, right, okay.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So me thinking, I'm giving them experiences and moving them around, showing them where the city is, that sometimes it was overexposure, it was overdoing it, and they didn't like it. You know, but as they got older, they felt more empowered to be able to say it. And I'm like, you know what? We're just gonna chill in this time instead of trying to make everything, whether it's a supporting a family member or something, just, you know, we So I can't say I got that right all the time. So I absolutely made mistakes and probably going to still make mistakes. It's just I try to keep an open conversation, open dialogue that, you know, hey, I've taken a step out to see where you were coming from. Now take one from me.
Yeah.
What if you were a parent? How would you want? How would you feel? What would you want to do?
Yeah.
And then sometimes I'll tell them too, it's rhetorical. I don't even want your answer. I want you to think about it. Because then when they go back, it's like, oh, I see what dad's talking about. And then again, I'm one of those real world comparison type of people. So when all these school shootings and various things of detriment go on, I say, hey, did you see this? I know, that's crazy, daddy. Remember we talked about, yeah, I see why now. Like running and gunfire. And I never understood why people take off running instead of just getting down, because I've been in a position where I've been at an event and I took off running and didn't know that the guy that they were trying to get was like right by me. So it's like, oh Lord, you know, and everybody's like, man, why are you shooting at you? Like, I didn't even know, you know, but I was just trying to get away from it.
Wow, yeah.
And so I learned, you know, get down, just get down, get to the most secure place you can instead of trying to run. And that's a lot of times will get a lot of our kids hurt because they take off running.
Wow.
And the nut is just shooting everywhere.
Yeah.
No control.
Yeah.
You know, no training. And you running, just trying to get away, which I get. But wait till, you know, stop spurts, things of that nature. So, yeah, absolutely. I feel like, you know, you're going to make mistakes. I try to just keep an open dialogue and go through it. Kind of like a review when you have business. Like when you go,
yeah,
over, man, what happened?
Yeah,
let's,
yeah,
break,
yeah,
it down. But it's not as technical.
Yeah, yeah,
it's,
yeah,
more on a informal, hey, what could we have done better?
What's the best advice that one of your daughters have given you to help you be a better father?
Ooh.
What's the best? It could be a conversation somewhere along the way where you had to sit down and go, man, I got to eat that one.
I'd say, yeah, being strict and imploring some of what was done for me in regards to, like, as an example, this special with my niece, because she was the one who really gave it back to me in the beginning. Going over someone's house.
Okay.
And she, you know, she's kind of like us. You know, we were movers and shakers in our era, you know, visiting, staying over, cousins is big, you know, your second connection outside of a sibling.
Yeah.
She loved to go over her friend's house. I'm like, I don't know them people. So I want to meet them.
Yeah.
She hated that. She absolutely hated that. So flip it now, with trafficking and things going on.
Mm-hmm.
We're sitting there having a conversation one day and she's speaking on that. She's like, you know, I used to hate that. But I still was happy that you still would be open to meet the parents, go in.
Mm.
She said, but at first you used to just be so hard. You didn't want to hear nothing. You know, I'm nah. Mm. You ain't going over there. I don't know them people.
Mm.
I don't know what they doing. Mm. I don't know what's going on in that household.
Right, right. I know that, you know, feeling, bro. You my daughter, yeah, right? It's different when it's a boy.
Yeah. So she taught me to be more open-minded. And you know, you can do it. Going back in the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
What y'all doing over there? You know, don't tell me this and that. And I go over there and the parents is looking crazy. Like, nah, you ain't gonna be able to make this trip. We done came out. Yes, we did. Let's go. I'm sorry. And then I had a couple parents, you know, I've seen later on. I'm like, man, you kind of checked us where we had to look at ourselves. Because they had some, I won't say unscrupulous people, but it was some people that just didn't look well that was with them.
Yeah.
I'm like, and you want my daughter?
Yeah.
A female?
Right.
To come over here and be in this environment?
Yeah.
Nah, I don't know what kind of call I'm going to get.
Yeah.
Somebody hurt? Somebody done something? Are we in juvenile? We in, you know,
yeah,
jail? So, so teaching me to be more open-minded, but then, you know, learning to use the things that we've learned, having conversation with other parents, not just throwing your hand up.
It's two things that I look back and that my daughters have. They gave me some advice or even feedback that was spot on. It stung. Both of them did it. Back to back, a year apart or 2 years apart. So they both graduated in the top 5% of their high school class. A high school that had almost 5,000 students.
Wow.
Right? 5% in a class of 1,200 people, whatever was in their class.
Right.
They had a scholarship. One went to the University of Florida, full academic scholarship. The other went to Florida State, full academic scholarship. And one wanted to be a PR major and the other wanted to major in anthropology.
Wow.
And I was like, you don't want to be a doctor? No. You don't want to be a lawyer? No. You don't want to be an engineer? No. Okay, what about a pharmacist? No. Okay, you don't like blood. What about an optometrist or a dentist? No. I want to do PR. And the other says, I want to work in a museum. Right. And I'm like, well, you better get jobs that pay money because I'm looking at your friends who are going to graduate making $90,000,
right,
and you might make $60,000.
Right.
But I was only looking at it from a financial aspect. I wasn't looking at it from what brings you joy.
Yeah.
What's the thing you're going to be most successful in life because you're going to be happy doing?
Yeah.
And so my daughter, my oldest, goes to University of Florida and she kills it, right? She goes to school and just kills being a PR person. And her circle is like just these cream of the crop, top notch women,
mm-hmm,
sorority sisters and male friends. My other goes to Florida State, transfers to UCF, graduates, gets a scholarship to Syracuse. Top 10 museum studies program in the country for grad school. She gets a scholarship and then they give her a job and she's teaching and then she's working at the museum up there. And I would go visit her and I'm sitting like in the car feeling like just dumb.
Yeah.
Because she did all that without my help.
Right.
She wouldn't got the scholarship. When I listen to you talk about the advice and being able to hear it, I wish I could have heard it sooner, dude. Because that might have led to a lot of the missed conversations that I had with my daughters.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Here's a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Boys.
Yeah.
There's two more topics I want to talk about. How did, your parenting clash or be supportive of the boys that came into their life? That's the first one, and I'll give you the second one after that. But let's talk about that.
Oh, man. Ooh. I'm like you to this day. They little friends, as they call them, they don't get me in on that. They just like, here's Rob,
Yeah.
Hey, how you doing, young man? And that, they try to minimize that
interaction.
Like, I'm going to take him out back with a sticker, so I don't know.
Do you feel like they speak in code, too? Like, they got a code when they speak, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, that's crazy. Okay, yeah. I'll let you finish.
Yeah. So, and doing some of my hobbies or whatever, motorcycling. And so, oh, my daddy crazy. so it's like, they try to put a precursor on me, but then keep me separate from it. And so that was a challenge. It's like, man, because it's your daughter, your baby, your mm-hmm. girl. You don't want any of that going on. So for me, they still keep it a mental, but fortunately their mother is pretty good at backdooring them. Let me know, give me some information. I'm like, okay. But then, going through like prom and a couple different dances, I watched my daughters and I had to step. I was kind of proud. I mean, I seen the control. I mean, it was like, I almost wanted to get the little young fella and say, man, hey man, if you need any help here, call me.
You about to be in trouble.
Ooh, yeah, there's some strong young ladies I raised over here. Cause I'm just seeing how they moving the young men, I'm like, oh my God, hold on, did I create a monster here? But, they work it out. But I also say, man, having such an open-minded father, man.
Yeah.
That's my father. So I've been open-minded to them. But we kind of had the clash post-secondary education. And then I had to reflect back. I did it my way. I didn't jump right out and go back to school.
That's a good nugget right there.
I supported them. I still give them barriers, but and I'm understanding that more, that they have to do it their way, because we're big. Because when you look at it from a generational standpoint, you go back to your parents and grandparents, get a good job. That's what they see. Our parents, get a good education. You'll get a good job.
Mm.
We're seeing all these things now where everybody says, well, just because you go to college, everybody's getting a big debt. Who's paying for the debt? Most of us parents who over sheltering our children, so they won't have to go through some of those burdens. Mm-hmm. And then, like, kids who go to school a year or two and then drop out, and you're like, man. So now do you force them to take that debt if there was, you know, if there's debt, to still keep them clear? Or do you say, nah, you're going to have to learn? But either way, they have to learn to do it their way, because if you stick them in a box or a cylinder that you want or your expectation, it all goes to hell.
Bro, you need to write a book. Like, for fathers like me, like, you need to write a book, bro. There's some people who we know who could benefit from the book. But man, you need to write a book. Here, last subject.
Yeah.
How has having four young ladies that you're raising affected the caliber of women that you dated, that you let in your life?
Man, I tell you, it's been times, it's been difficult, because what you see generally on the flip is that when you meet a young lady and she has children, she wants you to immerse into their children.
Mm-hmm.
What about my children?
Mm.
So in a couple failed relationships, I wasn't seeing that. I can come in with open arms to receive and accept yours, but you couldn't do the same. So I found myself being very upfront that, hey, here's where I am. My children are the most important thing in my life,
mm-hmm.
and taking care of them and getting them to the next levels of life because they didn't ask to be here. Couple got it, couple didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like women. A lot of women didn't see my kids.
Ooh,
so if we went on a date, I'm leaving. I'm meeting you somewhere. It was weird, kind of beginning. I had a couple ladies, you know, hit me with a couple derogatory, like, you know, like I'm a chump or something. Like, what you mean? I can't come to your house? Like, no, I have children there, and I don't know if you're gonna be around where they just, you know, be seeing women come and go in my household. And people couldn't get that.
Dope, because I don't think. You know, our show never bashes women, but I don't think many women think that there are men who think like that.
Yeah.
To be like, yeah, no, I'm sorry. Like, I like you, but you ain't earned that right yet.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And like I said, I think an advantage that I had was being an older father.
Okay.
And having an older father. So when I did know, I'm not going to lie, I would ask your cousin, because he was a father before me.
Yeah.
You know, I'd ask my village of men and brothers who were fathers. Like you said, there was a stage where one of my brothers said, from about 14 to about 19, you're going to want to kill your daughters. They're going to be names in your head that you
dude,
talk
I'm
about.
Telling you, man. There's times I can't say it on camera, man.
Exactly.
But so, Lord, have mercy, man.
Getting those type of, tidbits helped me.
Yeah.
To be more open-minded and, okay, let's talk about it then.
Yeah.
And sometimes it wouldn't always come out at once, but, you know, it comes out. Like, me and my oldest, we were kind of into it for 6 months. And I wouldn't say into it, because I'll never be into it with my child. But we weren't seeing the same things with expectations. My expectations were here. Hers were here. So I was like, man, it was being very difficult to, you know, be father and daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we speaking, of course. Mm-hmm. You know, I told her, I don't care how mad we are. We always going to speak, hug, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't like you right now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like you back. Okay, well, see you later. Love you. Be safe. You know, but we had to get that understanding, because those things happen. And like I said, it's like adaptive. You got to be adaptive to a certain degree. Yeah, I have my rules. I have things that are I'm not going to bend for.
Mm-hmm.
But then on the other side, when I look at it, it's like, did it really hurt me? Is she really in a bad place? Is this really going to deter her? And I think sometimes it's like when we were younger, you know, are you listening or are you hearing me? Because this is different.
That's a huge difference.
And so I had to change those models with certain things. And, you know, they hear you and they listen.
Mm-hmm.
So I love that, and I love that they're supportive, and, you know, and they doing it their way. And I love that, because when I think about it, you know, I didn't jump out there in the way that traditionally people say you should do it. And I think that's our problem with America, is that we always think we have to do something a certain way.
Mm.
As long as you're not causing yourself harm or a bunch of debt, take your time. You know, it's life. It's you know, considered a marathon. It's a race. It's whatever you want. But it's not going to happen overnight. not too much happens overnight. You really got like a couple, two, three, like millionaires. They win it, it's given to them, or you earn it. Who do you see really give you the helpful insights? Those that earn it. The ones that are giving it to them, we're watching now, second and third generations are selling off the family business, the property. Yeah. They want to spend the money because they've been so influenced on seeing the back end instead of the front end, where the work was put in.
Yeah.
And so I'm getting at that. Sometimes you just got to let them stay in between the lines. If they get too far one way, you kind of tap them in this way, tap them in. And if you have multiple kids anyway, there's one you got to be on. There's one you can give instruction. They get it. And there's the other one, you know, you just kind of got to check in from time to time because they done took off like a bird anyway. And so with mine having four girls, that's just how it's kind of been. My niece, man, she's at this point at 25, she's in already living three states.
Wow.
You know, she's in currently in Arizona.
She's fearless, Dan. Like,
exactly.
Yeah.
And she has a drive that she's having those back conversations. Like, I just seen how you would get it. You'd be like, you would make arrangements for us to be where we need to be. And you have a trip you have to go on business-wise. You go do what you had to do. Get us a little something, come back. And we back to business. But you would make, you know, I saw that drive and make sure things were where they needed to be. And I did kind of do some of the things on my way. But that is the biggest thing I would say. Let your kids kind of find their own way.
Okay.
Keep giving them instruction, love, and support. But you just cannot throw your expectations on them and expect them to do that.
That's absolutely going to be a sound bite when I do the promo on this one, man. My last question for you. If you could go back and see the Jimmy Love before your niece come to live with you or your first daughter, what would you tell him in order to prepare him for the journey?
Man, that's a great question. I would say reflective, really. Really try to make things work. I mean, because I'm kind of not a one and done, but I don't play that. That homie don't play that.
Mm-hmm.
I think I took on too much of my forefathers and their expectations where I didn't, in the beginning, before I got to my way, do it my way. And so I was kind of really rigid. You know, I'll dump you off in a minute. You know, I ain't got time for that. I was just swatting it away like flies versus really hunkering down and really measuring. Or not necessarily comparing or measuring, but just really seeing the pro and con of it. And understand everything isn't sweet.
Mm.
There's some sour with things.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess I wanted it to all be sweet. And that's what the biggest thing I would say is be more open and understanding that things are not always going to be sweet and it's not going to always be your way.
Well, man, listen, this podcast, this episode, brother, you dropped some gems. You know, like I said, I wish you had wrote a book for someone like me. And you talked about my cousin. He was my role model, man, as a father. He was the first person I see do it that was young and be like, look, this is what it is. This is what it means to take on this responsibility. Jimmy Love, thank you for stopping by the In His Voice podcast. Conversation meaningful.
Appreciate it.
Brother, I'm going to have you back because we got so many more topics to talk about.
Absolutely.
Listen, thank y'all for tuning in for this week's episode. We'll see you next time on In His Voice.